got some time on my phone.
Yeah. I charged my phone. We're going to talk. It's going to be awesome.
Can you hear me, though?
Yes, ma'am.
See, that's what happened. My percentage is so low.
Well, and I also think that neither, again, I said it last night, technology cannot handle the ferocity of a conversation between two whole-ass human beings anymore.
I'm telling you, because it's a lot. It is a lot.
5G can't carry any conversation. AI can't take over the world. It can't even hold a conversation.
That's it. And they, even when I got off the phone, I said, wow, everybody can't do that. I told them, so it could have been 8 hours. I don't know. But it was nonstop.
Right. But it's not done anymore.
I just know when I got off the phone, it's close to 12. So
yeah.
I have to left.
Yes.
And I said, it was just like, it was almost like, it didn't feel like it was that long, but it was that, I said, I had left the den and went to the bedroom, left the bedroom, back in the kitchen, back in the den.
Isn't that conversation jazzercise?
Yeah. And I said, the weirdest thing is, the whole time we was talking, I said, Lucius called me back, Frankie called me back, and I said, I didn't know that. Until like this morning, and I said so. Back to the best, it was like a marathon conversation. But at the same time, it just felt like we was having a normal conversation that we usually have.
Right,
you know?
We hadn't had a conversation in a while though, because
right, that's what it was. It was a lot of it was a lot of food for the soul. Yes, it was. A lot of food for the soul.
Well, there's a lot been going on in the world, yeah. I think, too. Everything is trying to push so fast. It's pushing people to their breaking points, and it's stupid.
It's stupid. It is, but, you know, I'm at the point that I told my sister, Lena, I feel differently about things now. You know, my sister went to a camp about, you know, she was diagnosed with colon cancer.
Right.
And so, and she found out and she had her surgery. She didn't have to have a colostomy bag. They removed the tumor. They removed the tumor and all of that, and it didn't spread. And she was back to work within, and the whole time she was going through it, I got really down and really depressed. Talked to her every day. She just was a normal self going to work. And she said, just like when the doctor told me, he was like wanting a reaction out of me. And I said, what do we do next then? And then she said, so what I did, I told my sister, so talk to God. And I told my, and I said that I'm going to do what I have to do to get better. And be, and she said, and God spoke to her and said, you're going to be okay. And she said, after I heard that voice, she said, even when Kamala became a nominee. She said that she was walking down the steps and a voice came to her and said she's going to choose what and they're going to win. And she said, she was like, oh, okay, guys. My sister is like this. She's always been that person. She has voices and she'll call you and send something before it happens. And she's always been that person. And it's, and because she carries that spirit. She's going to find the good in everybody. Mm-hmm. And then she gets the voices in her head that keeps her spirit so calm. So I'm over here freaking out about the cancer. She's living her life. And she gets up, go to the hospital. I bought her a purse that she likes. And we talk. She sits. She's taking her pictures. She goes. She's telling the doctor what's going on with her. She's telling them what to do. She's been in the medical field so long. They were, like, tripping on her.
She's watched so many people go through it.
She gets out of the hospital. She goes through her healing. And then she don't go back to her old job because there was a lot of lifting, and she don't need to be lifting, moving, pacing, or pacing. But she went to another job with a different type of patient. And guess what? What was the patient's name?
Hmm.
Elsa. And guess what my mom's name? Elsie.
Hmm.
That's the way God works.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to call her Elsie every day. Her patient. Calling her Elsie. And then her daughter told her, no, we call her mom. and she was calling her mama Elsa. And she said, Gina, and she reminded me of my mother when I was taking care of mom when mom was dying. And she said, but that's the way God works.
Yep.
But I said, that's who you are. That's her spirit. She's just one of those people.
It's that constant reminder of that, the human condition. And,
yeah.
And our roles in it. You
yeah.
don't have a role. Everybody does. You may
yes.
not like your role, baby.
Yes.
You may yes. not like it, but it's yours.
Yes.
That's
but
yours.
We all have a role in life. We do. We have a role to play. We have a role to motivate. We have people have, and people have the spirit of making changes. People have the spirit of stepping out on faith. People have the spirit to stir up some things that need to be
mm-hmm.
stirred up. And then there's evil spirits that stir up things that's in a negative way.
It's the same
so there
thing.
Are
yep. it's
spirits
the same.
Out there,
you
right?
can use
right?
the same skill in two different ways.
You can
use a hammer to build, and you can use a hammer to break. Like you can do the same thing. That's the duality in me.
Right.
We've done that for a long time. Everybody needs to
right.
have action surprise.
Right. You can build a house
Stop
with
it.
A hammer, or you can take someone's life.
Stop acting like you have to, like children have to understand everything about the world in order to understand what's right and wrong. Because that's not the case. Children know what's right from wrong. Like we know what's right from wrong innately.
We do.
You do. Everybody does.
We
and
do.
When people are like, oh, I don't,
but
okay, well then you
levels,
have a problem.
And at different levels, at different ages, at different times.
Yes.
But when you get a certain age, you've heard it all, you've lived an in-depth life, you know what's wrong and what's wrong and right.
And you don't have to experience it firsthand.
Right.
You don't have to experience it firsthand, but you do
no,
have to
you
understand.
Don't. No, you do not.
You do have to understand how to take in new information, analyze it, bounce it off of what you already know,
what you think you know,
and be able to have it knock that shit down and it be okay being wrong.
Be okay being wrong.
You're okay if you're wrong. You're not dead. I'd rather be wrong than dead. You know, I'd rather find out that that's not what I need to do than go and do it and find out the hard way. But that's just how I've lived my life. That's how I've
So anytime you're knocked down and you're able to get back up, guess what? You're right.
Right.
That is the truth right there. Anytime you're knocked down, you're able to get back up. You have to look. Just like I used to tell my, and people might think this is creepy, but I used to tell my sons as they got older I was speaking of being molested and people taking advantage of a person's body or a person's age,
right.
a person's strength, and a person's
ignorance,
knowledge, and all of that.
Their purity.
Always know that someone can probably molest the body, abuse the body. They can do a lot of things to the shell, but always know that that's the shell.
Mm-hmm.
They can never touch the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If you can walk out of any situation in life, from prison to almost dying, losing your life, you have a second chance.
And that's
and
not automatic. You have to pay attention to the world around you in order to be able to walk through it. You have
yes,
to be able
but you have
to
understand
that those things
know
exist.
The body is a shell.
Yes.
You never forget, and pain is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have another chance at this, don't live in that moment. Don't live in it.
But people pretend now that they're in such a volatile environment, you know, like they're under threat all the time. And it's pretend.
It's pretend because it's not true.
Right. So when you pretend like that all the time, you don't know how to actually assess danger. And that's very dangerous. And that's what
because everything is the end to this.
Yeah, that's
everything
where we're at
is
now.
The worst. Everything is about to happen. The web is in, the world is about to end. Oh, you know, everything is so ridiculous coming out of their mouth. They are not listening.
If I hear the word unprecedented one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. It's unprecedented amount of times I hear that damn word. Whenever you hear it on the news, it's repeated. It's like, none of this shit is unprecedented. This is the same shit we've been doing cyclically since the 50s. And if y'all aren't going to start pointing that out, that it's at least repeated. There's at least, this is all at least familiar, you know?
But
there
those
isn't
things
a single
are
person that can't acknowledge
because,
that is happening.
Right. Those things are repeated because it's sad that we react to selective words.
Because we choose not to acknowledge.
Because it's been a part of the
change.
It's been a part of the, it's just like movies, watching a movie. There's some people watch movies, if there's not things going on, my husband can't sit for no love stories.
Zero attention.
He can't be any except for something like that, but he can't have to have some type, but he don't like the action, but he still like that old school karate, all that pretend stuff, but he has to have action to hold his attention. At the same time, there are people that only can react to everything in life to them becomes boring if nothing is, if there's nothing happening.
For them.
Nothing that's going on that they proclaim that excites them.
Right. They don't allow themselves to be excited.
That's unfair. Something isn't right with that.
Right, because they're not allowing themselves to just be excited to be participating in whatever's going on. They need it to be extra. They need it to be tailored to them. It needs to be personalized. It's this concept of consumption that we've all grown up in. It's part of our generational traumas, everybody's, because it's also in lane in how we have raised our children, how we've taught our children and institutionalized them. It's really that deep. And we all know it because
it's very clear.
It's in every single one of these things that we, you know, everybody complains about. But while everyone's complaining about it, it is very rare to see people who are actually actively trying to either remove themselves from it safely or navigate through it and try to make changes, because there's not a whole lot of places where that exists anymore. And people want to avoid that reality.
That's safe to find comfortable because you only do what you know.
Exactly. And people don't know
anymore. So if you don't understand.
But nobody's willing to learn anymore. Nobody's willing to go, okay, I don't know, so I need to learn. So it's up to me. No one's going to come to me and tell me what to do about my problem. I need to know my problem. My problem isn't another person. My problem is whatever is making me feel upset. What is making me feel upset? And as a human being, if you don't stop yourself and do that, you continue to make choices in a state where you don't know what you're doing. And your children see that, and so they get confused, and so they never feel like they're supposed to know what they're doing, really. Right?
Right.
Right. So, you know, and nobody is an expert. But you should at least be an expert on yourself. And if you are not an expert on yourself,
it's hard to be an expert on yourself.
It is easy. People just don't want to do it.
It is very hard to be an expert on yourself because it doesn't happen overnight.
No, but you also have to accept your...
It's a learned behavior.
Yep.
It takes time for that.
You have to address your shitty heart.
When it comes to loving yourself, it's like people have to learn the loving. Loving yourself is loving the God in you.
Yes.
The loving yourself is when you learn to love yourself, you can actually love other people.
Mm-hmm.
You learn, you start understanding people different. You start seeing things different. You start opening up your mind, and you don't go through that place of wanting to harm someone, you end up at that place wanting to understand them.
Or being bitter that someone else isn't making you feel better. Being bitter that your spouse isn't fulfilling your needs.
And you can't, my sister and I had that conversation this morning. I was talking, she was talking about this couple, how happy these two created by his first wife, and they end up meeting, and they've been together forever, and they seem to have such a beautiful relationship, although they live in different states. And when they get together, and I said, because they have learned in life, happiness, you do not depend on anyone else for your happiness.
Correct.
Your happiness is individual. You have to make your time for things to make yourself happy. People get together and become this one. It's just we're one now. And then all this ownership, all this ignorance, and all this this unfair expectations of each other come into play. And all of that stuff is unrealistic.
Yes.
Because everything that belongs to you still belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to your mind,
you're a whole human.
And how you take yourself.
Yes.
Right. And then you come together, because there's always two unhealthy people meeting. But people always want someone else to make them better.
I think that the ratio, like the amount of, like, quote unquote, emotionally or mentally fully developed adults in our society is very low.
It's very low.
So that's why you see such a mass of relationships that were always destined to be problematic. And no relationship is destined for good or bad. That's the secret, is that it's a subjective experience between two people that also have a subjective experience. This is just distance theory. But that's how relationships work. And it relies on honest, clear communication, number one. And when all you do is create new languages every day in order to overcomplicate that,
right,
to profit off of other people struggling to maintain that in the society that we live in.
Yeah, all this added bullshit. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. And that's
all this added
because it costs money to
stuff,
be happy
yeah.
now. It yeah. costs money to be it costs money to achieve your balance, yeah.
And you know how true that is?
I know. I know.
Like,
that's why I'm not
in their own physical look.
That's why I can't be part of it. It makes me feel disgusting.
But therapists are not. Everything don't have to be learned. A lot of things are common sense.
Yes, ma'am.
You know? And it's okay to have that book knowledge,
yes.
but that common sense.
Correct.
It's life learned. You got to apply
that
book
knowledge.
When you're trying to change yourself completely to find happiness, you are so lost, you don't even realize how lost you are.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to change the way you look, your whole physical self to be accepted.
Mm-hmm. But that's all
because
anybody does.
Because you're depending on someone else
That's why I've, you know, this podcast, like that's why I've operated the way that I have with it. I haven't thrown myself into it because I can't be like that. That's so against who I am. The way that we've created this society to where it's like, well, if you want to operate within the society, that's the box you need to fit in. That's the person you need to be. And I'm like, well, I can't be that person. I'm sorry. I'm not that good of an actor. I can't.
You know something, yeah, tearing people down and
yep.
coming at people and finding
mm-hmm.
problems with everybody and,
yep.
and jumping in someone's life where you don't belong, or
being
someone's business where you're not invited. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it is. That's a scary thing. When you decide to sell your soul in that manner, you have some issues. You're right. You have some problems. You have problems. When you are sitting there calling yourself trying to solve a problem, but if you look in the mirror, you are the problem.
Well, you're just an extension thereof. Like you're trying
yeah,
to say.
You are a problem.
Yeah, look, I
you're
see this problem exists. So my answer isn't to be different, but to do the same thing that they're doing for my own profit and for the continued consumption of whatever I'm trying to sell. And I get that because everybody does need to make a living, you know, but it creates such a negative. There are no ethics there. There's no railings. So those people can give really horrible advice, and I've seen quite a few.
No, I just, it feels like a very, lonely place to be. Feels like to me it's just a very broke spot. Although you financially, you feel like you're gaining money and finances, but it feels like
they fully believe they're helping people. I think they think that behavior is helpful, but it's perpetuating the problem.
There are helping people. There are people out there. They are making a difference.
The only thing they are helping people do is doing the work.
There are people doing the work. I believe that. There are people doing the work, but there's a lot of people have sold themselves out in the process.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Is the work that they're doing.
Because I don't think the work comes from a degree. I don't think the work comes from,
I'm not seeing a difference between those two professional realms, because I've seen what it takes to be in the professional realm, you know, with the APA and all of that other stuff, you know,
right.
All these systems that we put up so that people would be protected. Like, the idea behind them was great. The idea behind them started in the 50s when we, you know, broke up the mental institutions because they became absolutely inhumane, and we were doing experiments on people, which we found out later have been 100% put into action and use. The models that we found out were really manipulative to society. And we put those in marketing. We put them into politics. And I see it because they all look, I see the research coming out in the way that we are being communicated with the government, by the government. Does that make sense? Because when you study systems,
like all experimental, all the different things,
right.
All of that have happened, mm-hmm. and you can see it in play, and you know, happening.
And then you can use that information. See, the thing that society has stopped teaching people, like individuals. Because if you teach people that, then they come up with new ideas, and then they become creative, and they start to work against systems that want to control them or want to navigate them to certain ways so that they can profit. And that's what we have going on. That's always been the problem with society. Because when you create a game, you are always going to have people who want to cheat that game and manipulate that game.
A part of being that being, that human being,
right.
Is people are going to copy someone else. Someone
exactly.
is going to do what someone else has done. And a lot of times those ideas do help your creativity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do it exactly like that person.
Right.
But that's where a lot of ideas come from, is from, you know, other people, and sometimes people can get some started and they never finish, but then there's someone that can adapt the thing that they're doing.
The legacy
and
of
they
that
can
idea.
Do it a lot different and make a lot more money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bad thing,
yeah.
But at the same time, it becomes people start abusing.
Yeah. Our prey instinct comes out in how we play the game.
Right.
100%.
Right.
And, you know, it's always a power struggle, and that's why that's that kind of feeling that people get when they feel oppressed and they feel controlled, because they're restricted to their forward movement. They're restricted to access to their resources and the means of production, whether that production be just your ideas. Because I have so many great ideas that I have no means by which to come to fruition. I know that I have an idea, and this is something that I talk about a lot with my son, because he has tons of great ideas, because he's 7. So he's got great ideas, none of which are possible. None of them, because he's 7. He doesn't get it. He doesn't know what you have to do in order to get all the way to that end, right?
Right.
At 7, he should understand a few more steps than what he's pretending to understand lately. So his ideas sound like the ideas of a 3-year-old.
But it's okay. He's 7.
No, it's not okay, because his ideas sound
he's
like
seven.
The ideas.
His ideas are what they are. Ideas can be just ideas.
No. The concept. So like the reality concept within the creative ideas that he's purposefully dumbing down
his... So give me an example of one of his ideas.
It's just the way... So my son understands the concepts of the world more than he is applying to his ideas. Does that make sense? He is smarter than the ideas that he's sharing right now.
So what are the ideas that you think he's so smarter than? Then because he's seven.
His ideas are, I'm going to build a bunker, and then I'm going to have an army because we're going to be foster parents, and we're going to have an army of foster kids that are going to live in the bunker with him, and they're all going to protect our land, and that's what we're going to do. My son's a prepper, is what's happening. Yeah, and so at his age, I would expect there to be a little bit more concepts of reality within these ideas, because we don't own land. We are not foster parents. So these things are not even concepts. These aren't even things we talk about. Like, these are ideas that we
have. Yeah, but he's seven. He's just putting a lot of things together. It's like making soup.
I know.
Put a lot of things in the bowl, and it might just come out tasting good. It might not taste good.
Right.
He's seven.
I know, but his understanding.
He don't have to make it make sense, because it makes sense to him. That's what we do wrong also, because his reality is still seven.
But his reality
is...
His understanding of his reality at seven is more complex than these ideas. Does that make sense?
His ideas are complex.
I don't think that's a very complex idea.
It is complex. He's going to build a bunker. He's going to put foster kids in there, and they're going to protect the land.
Yeah, but it stands up to no questions. That's the thing.
It's complex. It don't make sense to you, but it makes sense to him. That's the complexity in it.
I just don't see it.
I see it. Who would come up with that? I wouldn't have never came up with that at seven.
I can see how he came up with it. Because, like, we have talked about being foster parents after Mac gets out of the Navy.
Okay, then. So that's all the complexity. That's all the stuff that's coming together for him. Because all of the things he has heard, he's putting together in his way of the way he wants to understand it and the way he wants to see it.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the complexity of it right there.
Maybe I'm just frustrated that my son's first, like, his first idea of, like, a life goal is to, you know, hunker down and build a bunker.
I think it's really smart. I think it's really smart because the bunker has to come in somewhere from a movie or something he's heard about bunkers.
We used to watch Homesteading.
Together.
We used to watch Homesteading, like that Homesteading show.
Okay, then. I can see all of that.
But my thing is I'm not having a problem seeing where he's coming up with the idea.
Right.
I'm
saying, that is so smart.
But what I'm saying is he's not putting any more thought into this idea than just, like...
He put enough.
Yeah.
He's going to do a bunker. You're thinking about foster kids.
Yeah.
He's going to put them in the bunker. They're going to protect your land. He puts the protection out of things that are going to work to make things right, to keep them safe, to keep himself safe. Believe me, that's putting things together. If anybody heard that, they would have been like, wow, he's seven? That is so interesting.
Maybe it's just my frustration that this child won't pick up a broom but yet he wants to build a bunker. I think
that's... You know why he won't pick up a broom? Because he's too busy building a bunker.
Yes, he's too busy building a bunker in his head. He has a little fort outside that he built. He built like a little fort outside out of rocks, but can't bother putting dishes in a dishwasher. Fuck you. Get out of here. Get out of here. Don't tell me you can build a fort, but you can't put dishes in a dishwasher. That's what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying, where it's like your ideas.
That is the complexity of him. Mm. That is the complexity.
That's not a complexity. That's a choice.
Because everything else is simple, Rachel.
It's a choice.
Make it make sense. Rachel, you're not making it make sense. Sometimes we think we feel that we're so smart, we're missing the point. The bottom line is putting dishes in the dishwasher. Washing dishes is simple. It's a simple thing to do. in a room is simple.
I'm those sorry. Do you think
so
I don't know this?
That,
I know this, ma'am.
If someone is smart and they build in bunkers and thinking about bunkers and all of that, that's a big deal. And that's complexity right
now,
there.
No, I know what I'm mad about. I'm mad that I can't I'm mad that I can't play with him because he doesn't help, because he doesn't want to mature in the and develop in the ways that he knows he needs to, and he knows he can. He is refusing to do so because he is depending upon my kindness. He is depending upon the fact that mommy doesn't want to live in a pigsty, so she won't. So she will clean up after me. If I leave a mess, I can just pretend I can't clean it up. I can just pretend
so
I don't know what to do.
So have you went out there and helped him build a bunker? Did you help him build a fort?
I'm not going to go out there and help that child build
a fort. You need to help him build a fort. So I'm helping you build a fort. You go back in and you go sweep this floor.
I can't do it, Mary. I've been doing this for a year. My inner child is stomping her damn feet. Where do you think this child gets the stubbornness?
You got to lead him halfway. You got to lead a kid that want to build a bunker halfway. Because that's complexity right here.
I will buy him the land. That is how I will meet my little boy who wants to build a bunker halfway.
You're going to take this child outside, and you're going to help him build this thing.
I will, in
real
life.
You're going to help him get all of that started, but you're going to sit down and tell him, I'm helping you with this, and this is what you're going to do in the home.
Yes, that's the plan, but he don't listen. He doesn't want to do the part.
But have you done it, though?
Yes. Mary,
but you're gonna help him do his thing,
I helped him with his flag, madam, and I allow it to be on my property. Thank you. I have a giant pile of rocks and a bucket that looks ridiculous. It is a fort. It is a child's fort.
You helped him with those rocks and that bucket.
And I did. I let him keep it there too and keep it up.
But did you physically help him with it?
I can't physically help him with the rocks, but I did help him with the flag. I'm broken. I also have to keep that in mind. And that is something that my child, even though he tries his
hardest. Because you're burnt out and you're tired.
Yes. Well, not only am I broken out, I'm tired. I am literally broken. I'm literally broken.
But by him being 7 is not his concern.
It is his
concern. By him being 7, he's doing 7.
It is his concern, though, because it frustrates him.
No, it's not his concern until that.
He has told us to
he needs some,
Mary, ma'am.
He needs a white flag on his side. You need a white flag on your side.
Oh, we've done that. We do that on a regular. But my child most certainly takes advantage. This child does not play by the rules. This child has never heard of the Geneva Convention. It's the problem. There's always got to be a problem, a hurdle with parenting.
Yeah, because you guys at the choking point.
Yeah, and I know that.
I want to choke you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not gonna. And that's how I am.
I know you're
gonna.
Not, but you're at the choking point. I get it.
Yeah. I know. But
because you're feeling, as a parent, I've always given up myself, all of myself. I'm here with you. I'm doing all the parenting that I'm trying to do, but it's not enough.
But I'm not.
Because you're not responding the way that you should.
Yeah, you want me to live for you, and I can't. I'm sorry.
But you don't have to respond.
Nobody can.
100%. You don't have to respond 75%. But I do need at least 30-40%.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's all I'm asking. I'm just asking for some sign that we're both participating here. Some sign. Just any sign.
I get that.
Yes. And I'm not surprised at this.
So even if it's with his creativity,
mm-hmm.
his complexity,
mm-hmm. now you see what I'm saying?
Out of a 7-year-old head that makes sense to me in a different way, it's hard for you to see that because you are at a point of a standoff.
Well, I can see it very clearly. I can see the standoff, but because I am who I am and I have the education and experiences that I have developed a very strong skill set to be able to step outside of a problem and look at it and inspect it and go, okay, what is the problem here between me and my son? Stepping outside of myself and actually analyzing it objectively And that has helped me so much as a parent, because there are so often.
So what did you come up with?
That's what we're at, and that's just the reality of it.
So where are you at? So if
it is the emotional standoff of a developmental skill set building life. You have to build it. He has to learn.
Right.
And unfortunately, the cost of that learning, because there is always a cost to everything you do in life, whether it be something we created as humans, and that's why we created it, because we knew that that was the case, there's always a cost to something. The cost of that is my patience. The cost of that is my sanity. The cost of that is me doing the parenting, verb, action, attending to the fact that my son is choosing to be an ass, and I can do nothing about it. Because that is the reality of the situation. It is not a disorder. He is 7. He is testing out personalities because he's a little human being, and that's what they do.
Right.
That's what they do. And you have to accept it, and you have to sit calmly in that.
And you have to be patient. You have to be very patient.
Very patient. All of the patient.
Because it's like, right. Because there's so many different stages. There's
and if
so
there is anything about society as a whole, they are not fucking patient. And so not only do I have to be patient with my child, but I also have to stand in the face of all of the parents that surround my family, be it through his school, through activities, all the social things, who do not do that, who cater and cave to their children and do not allow their children to learn and develop skill sets that will help them survive the world around them. And then they act fucking surprised when their children feel like they are incapable. Not only feel that they are incapable, but genuinely act incapable, surprised and shocked at the things that life has to throw at them. And that is bad parenting. Bad. That's why we have basic training in boot camp. Because people don't teach their children how to be respectful to an authority figure within a system that they have chosen to participate in. That's it. You got to learn how to take direction and listen when the person who's giving you the direction should be listened to. Whether that's because they've been placed in front of you as an authority figure because you decided to, I don't know, join the military, or whether they are your parents and you were born to them and their job is to keep you alive. And they've done so beautifully. Nary a bad mark on my husband and I's report cards from our child when he discusses that with us. He's honest with us. He tells us when he's frustrated. He told me that he was mad that we still made the choice to move to New York even though we had the problems that we had. And I had to explain to him that at that point, I didn't have any options. And he's frustrated with that. And I have to accept as a parent that he's going to need to take that out on me.
Back up. He's frustrated about you guys moving to New York.
Yeah, he didn't feel great in moving here. He didn't want to move here.
From where?
From California. When Matt went geobatch.
Okay, yeah. I get it. He liked where he was before.
Because he liked the distance. He doesn't like living this close to the family because of the issues that, you know, we've talked about that.
Yes.
It's not that we have a bad family at all. It's that.
No, I know that.
Yeah, it's just dynamics don't match up. And you have to be, you have to accept those realities.
It's conflict in parenting, right?
It's the same problem. It's the same problem. It's the most parents do not have the time, space, capacity, or understanding to actively parent their children. And so their children are missing a very large component of understanding how to just be a human being in the world that we live in. And it's weird to say that and be like, yeah, but people are so capable. It's like, yeah, but they're capable because the systems that they rely on allow them to be that capable. And they don't see that until they start to try to take their own autonomy back from whatever they've accepted as their standard of living. You know, it's frustrating because it's like people's complaints are tied.
But at the same time, all that is complex, but it's all okay. It's however you get there and how you get there.
Right.
Everybody's not going to get it where it belongs, where it's supposed, where they're supposed to get it from.
Yeah.
Everybody's not going to have that all of that information and them to pass on to that generation.
Well,
all of that is in time. Nothing is going to happen the way it should, and nothing's going to a large percentage of us, probably I would say about 90 some percent of us, is not going to get it the way it's supposed to be got.
It's misplaced.
You know, because everything in life is because we're in a different time. We're in a changing society.
Well, and we're seeing that
people are trying to evolve. People are trying to evolve. And then it gets to the point that within the evolving, some people are trying to stretch it to be what they want it to be.
Right.
And when they try to make it to be what they want it to be, they want everybody to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, and you can't.
And if you're not jump on the bandwagon, it's like being in high school, any school. All of a sudden, they start bullying you.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about life is it's hard to be an individual.
Oh, yeah.
But it's easy for an individual to continue to be an individual. You get what I'm saying?
There's no better feeling than to be an individual. And
right.
But it's also the worst feeling.
But it's a fight to be one.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I'm familiar.
It's a weird twist on that.
Yeah.
It's a weird twist on that.
And that's...
I've always been an individual, but at the same time, I always have to, okay.
You
I
have
I,
to operate. You have to survive the society and the system around you.
Right. And I was speaking to this person, and I had this situation, and I addressed it and all of this, and it could have turned out really bad. So after the situation, after everything happened, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was calling me about a situation she was in. And so I said to I told her after the situation happened, because of my personality, because how I sometimes I interact with people, and I'm pretty honest with myself, but I'm honest with others. But as I'm a lot older, so some of the words I would use that would bring it to a bad place, I try to redirect how I talk to people.
Right.
But there's moments in life I go back and I'll say something in the wrong way. And
right.
Then I get in my car and I start looking in the mirror and checking myself and praying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want it to be me. Because I don't walk through life trying to offend or hurt or harm.
Right.
But I don't back down.
Right.
So by me not bagging down or jumping on it, people's bandwagon, being a part of the things that they say that's so wrong and so negative. This lady, I don't know if I told you about this lady in the store, and it was some Mexicans in the store, they wasn't doing them, but shopping like everybody else.
Right.
They were speaking their language, and the lady said, I'm so tired of them coming over to our country and always speaking language, and they don't need to speak English. And kept coming to me with that mess. I said, excuse me, lady. I said, excuse me, ma'am. I don't agree with you.
Yes, yeah, so stop. Don't talk to me like that.
This isn't your country. It's not my country. It's God's land. Everybody's welcome.
Right.
I said, if you are listening to a conversation they have and they're not having it with you.
Right.
What is your problem? I said, what is your problem? I don't have the same problem you have. So don't look at me and think that we're on the same team.
And don't
just
be mad at me when I don't agree.
Complexion. I said, just because we're of the same complexion.
Right.
I said, whatever your issues are, ma'am, they're with you. They're not with me. Don't keep following me around the store because you want me to jump on your bandwagon.
Right.
I don't think like that.
Well, that's the problem with patriotism.
Like
that's the problem with.
I don't look at people like that.
Yeah, that's the problem with patriotism and that. It allows people to say some dumb
I'm
stuff.
I'm good with people coming together and agreeing.
Yes.
I'm good with that.
Yes.
I'm good with when you're not harming or hurting people.
I remember
when you're not using it in a negative manner. You're using it because I want change. Yeah, we want change. Yes, that is great for me.
Yes.
But when you're two people.
Yes, ma'am.
Because of your opinion and what you're trying to say. Just like people want to say all these racist jokes. I'm good at racist jokes. Nobody want to hear that mess.
Mm-mm.
If you got to get off on that, and you got to be on your in your home doing all that ugliness because that's the spirit in your home, you got problems. But keep that mess at home. Don't bring it out and give it to me because I don't live that life.
I watched Kill Tony.
I was so mad because she got offended. I said, ma'am, back up. I'm not the one. Bring your voice down. You followed me around. If you notice, I was quiet. But I am not, I don't stand in spaces that I don't want to be in. And I don't agree with people when I don't agree.
There's so few people like that anymore.
I understand, Mary. You get it?
Like, there's so
many. And the conversation was changed.
There's so few people like that anymore who will.
Right, I know that. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to change because there are people that's not stepping out on faith. I'm going to always step out on faith. I put myself in harm where I could have gotten really physically hurt and shot in a lot of situations.
Oh, I know.
But I wasn't blind enough thinking that it should not go that far, but I was willing to just take whatever I need to take at that time.
And
pray to God I make it through it.
And the thing is, I see that in my son, and I want to hone that because that is a wonderful mindset to have. To say,
yes, it is.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love the individuality. I love the individuality. I love the I'm going to do me, you do you. I'm not going to impose on other people. I'm going to protect people I love. Yes, love it.
But I am not going to be a part of something that's negative, that's ugly, and then sit and think that it's funny. A lot of people like to do those things and pretend that they're for your rights and they're for this and this. But then they want to say some of the worst things and want you to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And because they're in your space, want you to accept it. Me and you have had conversations. You have said things that said, I'm not comfortable with that. No, don't do that around me.
And I've thought.
Or something like that. So I understand, Mary. But it was out of respect and learning.
Right. That's a boundary. You have to learn other people's boundaries and accept them.
To me that I had to understand where you was coming from.
Right. And it's not
up
to everybody
else. Rachel.
But everybody seems to think, everybody likes to talk about boundaries. This is the problem that I have with everybody being an expert in mental health anymore. Is everybody talks about, you need to set boundaries, you need to set boundaries. And it's like, yeah, but what you're not addressing is the maintenance of balancing oneself every day. Every day you need to balance yourself out.
Balance oneself when you wake up, when you open your eyes.
And that's on you.
From the time you go to bed, you have to balance yourself.
That's not anybody else's job. No one else needs to know about it. Yes, no one else needs to know what you're doing and how you're doing it. That's the lie that all this social media tells you. And it's why when you don't get feedback that validates that, it makes you feel lonely. It makes you feel helpless. It makes you feel like nobody likes you. It perpetuates that feeling and that emotion. And these people are feeding into it because they're continuing to give this empty advice. And it's empty advice until people click on it and they take the bait and they buy the program. And so then they're in the program and that program distracts them, or they read that book and that book distracts them, but they don't learn that, all of this knowledge that I'm learning from this, all of these methods of self-care, all these things that could possibly work for me, I actually have to try them all out and figure out what works for me and then just do that. And I can't depend on anybody else to tell me. I have to actually go through these experiences.
But that's where we go wrong.
Right.
With all of this knowledge and bullshit and self-care.
We where don't we teach go people wrong how to apply it.
Is, no. Where we go wrong is with self-care is, a lot of people are talking about self-care. You cannot wake up and you cannot step in the shoes of self-care if you are not being honest with yourself.
Correct.
If you're not being truthful with what's going on with your life. You cannot have a drinking addiction or a drug addiction. Selling yourself short, you have not done the work to get to the point of self-care.
Right.
Self-care does not help it happen because you want it.
Well,
it happens
when
you are honest with yourself.
Right. And as a society, we perpetuate that state of being.
Right. You have to be honest with yourself. Okay, I'll put an example. I was taking someone back and forth to the doctor's office. They're going to the doctor's office because they have this skin issue. The doctor's telling them over and over and over again, your clothes are too tight.
Mm.
You cannot be wearing these clothes because of your issue.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you wear looser clothes and your body air out.
Oh, but then my booty ain't going to hang out.
You cannot put in your system.
Mm-hmm.
We kept going to that doctor repeatedly.
And she kept doing it. She kept not following what we were supposed to do.
By the fifth time, the doctor said, I don't want to see you no more.
Right.
Couldn't even go into the doctor's office. Came now, talking about it was the doctor's fault.
But yeah,
okay,
in this society today,
I say calm because I had to wait until he left the place. I said, you know something? It always bothers me when someone is trying to give you a person help. I said, I'm not gonna direct this, I'm indirect this, so we won't be in an argument.
Right.
I said, when someone is trying to give you help and they're telling you over and over again what to do, you do nothing they tell you. You
right.
do the opposite. But
yep.
you still want them to give you a quick fix.
Yep.
Now, who issue is it? I said, he should have told you not to come back to his office. He should have told you stop wasting his time.
Yep.
Because it becomes a joke on his life, his career, his practice, what he's trying to do. You're making it, you're going there like he owes you something.
You're taking up the time. You're taking up the time that he has.
He told you what to do. He had to tell you what to do several times, and you still want to do
Mary.
It. But you still want to blame someone else for what you for your
neglect.
The things that you are responsible
neglect.
For.
It's neglect.
I said, so next time, don't ask me to bring you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me to. I said, because he should have told you. Because I said, I would have told you this is the third time.
It's embarrassing.
Don't come back here.
It's embarrassing.
I said, because you can't live your life making everybody else
the problem.
The problem.
And making it everybody else's job to fix your problem.
Hello. And you're repeating the same thing over again.
But what do you see parents doing right now? What do you see parents doing?
I know.
Anytime there's a problem with their kid, it's somebody else's problem.
Right here.
Now,
that was my point right there.
Yes.
With me trying to lose weight, I couldn't say, oh, it's the doctor. Oh, it's this. It's the way I eat.
It's the world around us.
It's everything that I do to myself.
And look at
how my feet swell. It's what I do to myself.
Yeah, look how healthy options are promoted in our society. They're not. Healthy, actual healthy, natural human healthy
But
options.
At the same time, I'm not going to blame society for the choices I make.
Because
Rachel,
you are old
because
enough to
I
be aware
know
of that.
Better.
Yes.
I know better.
Exactly.
I don't have to make those choices.
Exactly. And so when you don't...
So it gets to a point in life, you can't keep giving people escape goats. You cannot move forward when someone is always trying to be analytical and trying to give you the this and that and the this terminology and this type of technology.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way it should and could and it
yep.
be, but it's like this because of that. No, it's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta take responsibility and make that shit make sense.
Yes. And it's like, it's great that everybody...
You got to make it make sense, baby.
Well, but what they're actually doing is just overcomplicating it. You know?
Yes.
It's here. Let's point out this behavior that's very common in everybody. It's a normal ass human reaction. And we're gonna over-explain it so that you feel like it's a problem.
Hello.
And so I've had
to look
at my son.
Because guess what? I make money off of your fishes and your crops.
Exactly. I've had to look at my own
so
son and be like,
I'm going to get everybody to start using these selective words to know, to let you see that it's really out there. It is really, it's the truth.
And because the experience of human existence is so subjective, we're never going to run out of ways that the mental health community can actually profit. And they know that. Like, if you look at it, it's obvious. If you know anything about how psychology works in marketing, you're like, oh, shit, yeah, no, that's real. Because first it was happiness, and now it's sadness. So it's like they're just kicking emotions to operate on. To prey off
of.
Yeah, to profit off of. And it's gross. And that's not how you're not teaching people how to.
Because some of it, and that's not with every case and every person, and that's not aligned with everybody.
No.
Everybody is different. Every case is different.
The thing is that the system is
individual, but you cannot box them all up and then make it all the same.
The thing is that it's not a small box. It's a big box that they're all in that they don't even realize.
And they don't go in the green box.
Yeah, they don't even realize.
They're not in the green box.
They don't realize they're in the box because they jumped right into that box all wholeheartedly and didn't realize that they compartmentalized themselves into being a part of this gross profit-mongering system. And they think they're doing good. They think they're trying to help people not be sad. They're trying to help people be happy. They're trying to help people.
Every bad day is a mental health day.
Exactly. Every single experience that you have does not need to be
not a mental health day.
A problem. But now it's everything. So, and that's why people's reactions are hyper-emotional in every situation.
Because it becomes overdone.
Yep.
It becomes overdone every time.
And that's become the norm. It's like, well, you're not a person in today's society if you don't have an overblown problem. Like, get the fuck out of here. Why does everybody have to have a problem? This is not the case.
But and on the other hand, it's good that people are stepping out and using those terms at the same time about their mental health. And it's good that people are bringing that to their attention. A lot of times when the job or your duty or your talent or your blessing is so big, it becomes mental.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
I know.
But the thing is, even with your intellect, your intelligence or your book smart, anything can be overwhelmed.
Oh, I know.
When it's that big.
Mm-hmm.
So that is obvious, but every day for some people will jump on those bandwagons that don't have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm. No, that's most people because it separates them from what they actually should be doing for themselves.
And then they'll turn around and doubt the people that's going through it because they want to make money off the doubt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. Oh, trust me. That's why. Whenever somebody looks at me and says, "Well, why don't you become a life counselor or something?" I get nauseous. Like, don't you dare! I understand that all of these things are made up, but I did do work. I worked my ass off to get the degrees that I got and to have the experiences that I have and I worked for families and I've done the work.
It's been helpful and it's been something that you get to walk around with.
Right.
That can be useful, and
right.
You can take it in action, you can develop it, and you can come up with your own way of view.
Exactly. But people don't see that as a possibility anymore, and I find that disgusting, because that's human nature.
You can't see it as a possibility because they don't.
Right. But that's how people are now. And that's like the conversation we had last night, that's why I feel so disillusioned. I've always been someone who ends up liking the independent candidate in any election, you know? And that's what I was trying to say.
And you know, that's fine. That's good. But that's
it's not.
Good.
It sucks.
All of that is
I hate
so
it.
To have a mindset of how you like what you like. That is the way what works for you.
Right, but
it
doesn't work.
There's nothing wrong with everybody having their own way of thinking, even if it's in a group. It's just like if I sit down, there's a bunch of people having dinner. Might be one person having dinner. Might be a few other people having dinner. I'm going to go where I'm comfortable.
Right.
I'm going to end up sitting where I'm comfortable. It might be with the bigger group, might be my family. And but then maybe that small, that one person might be someone I'm more comfortable with sitting with. But I'm going to choose where I want to be.
Yes.
That is okay. It's okay. But it becomes wrong when that group becomes against and the spirit first.
That is how it feels every election season. Every single election season, that's what I go through. I'm like, I always find myself loving the independent candidate and knowing that no matter what.
You don't feel like you're an independent thinker. And I always felt like some of the independent candidates wasn't just people I would ride with because they were like, you know, even in and there was some I would listen to and laugh.
Right, they were relatable.
But it wasn't, they just wasn't people that I felt like I would ride with because I didn't feel like they were really there trying to make a big difference. They would tell you, they just trying to stir up the pot because they knew that we're not ready for that.
See, that's a term that I really love.
And then they would admit that they're just stirring the pot.
I love that term because
it definitely represents
the frog in the boiling water.
It wasn't genuine. It wasn't really anything that I would ride with.
See, I don't like being in that pot.
Here's what I'm saying. I've heard too many. I'm saying, what's his name? The scholar when he was running. He said, you know, I'm just stirring the pot. You know, you'll hear people that I would like, and they're saying he's just stirring the pot. I was like, okay, that's
what
the independent
candidate
did.
Well, the thing is that
there's nothing wrong with them stirring the pot.
Right, our Constitution's actually made to stir the pot. Our Constitution was the stick.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
They give other people a different place to tell what they want to do. Even if you don't have to be ready for something for it to work, one day it might just work. You don't have to stop doing things. You don't have to. That's the thing about it. There's always somebody that's going to step out on faith and make some changes, and the changes are going to work.
I just haven't seen any Congress, any president in my lifetime so far really make any changes to anything. I've seen perpetuation. I've seen repetition.
How do you make changes if people are not on the same note?
Exactly.
You can't make changes. That's what people get. That's what I never get about politics. That's why I guess it affects me a little different when it comes to policies and all of that. It's like, you know, they ain't making. How are you going to make a difference if you can't get nothing passed through? If you're trying to satisfy all these, that amount of people, and then half of them is against you, maybe more than half, and maybe something, there's all these different reasons that they're against you. How do you get anything done?
When you do get
something done and push through, it's something that people go, wow, they've done something. Then when they do something, it's never enough.
Well, because the things that they're doing, so like for example, the PACT Act, right? The PACT Act.
Because if one person can get something done, a lot of things will be done.
Right, but.
But it don't work that way.
That's what I'm talking about. With the PACT Act, that when that was passed, they're like, oh, we're
going to. Because I'll be writing policies and stuff like this now, just so I can get something done.
Right. So the PACT Act, when they passed that, they were like, oh, this is going to be monumental, and we're going to get an extra 1.3 million veterans seen by our hospitals. Meanwhile, they did not staff the hospitals. None of the processing was done by the VA actual. Most of it was done by contractors, several different contracting companies, and I know that because I experienced doing business
with
other Just listen. But what I did see happen was a very large portion of people who got out and had had severance pay when they got out, all of a sudden had all of their benefits removed to pay back that amount because, according to a particular law, they weren't supposed to receive severance pay and compensation and pension at the same time. So now they have to pay that back. So in the middle of probably one of the biggest inflation and recession issues of our history, they've removed the income for all of these veterans. And there's a lot of them. So the PACT Act was really just a way to find where the government could regain their money, because I was a PACT Act person and none of my issues seemed to meet whatever standard they were holding to receive the benefits for being in the Gulf War, in the Gulf, and having skin issues and having a parathyroid tumor and having issues because of that. So I have a big problem when I'm told that my government is doing things for me, but when I look at what they're doing, they're not really doing it for me. They're using the same tactics that they've been using for the past 50 years to find
ways that they can make money back. At least they gave some insight. At least they gave some insight. I'm from a people, a race of people that they don't even get that type of recognition when they bring something to the forefront about what should have been, what should have been done, or what should have done to help to uplift the race to a different financial status. So it's so deeper, it's so much deeper than that. At least those things are actually being looked at, even if it just didn't work the way it's supposed to work.
Oh, don't worry, Mary.
The way I see,
they're looking at the socioeconomic issues that are impacting.
I see things a lot different. The reason I see things a lot different is there is so much. If government isn't one person.
Oh, I know.
Government isn't one part.
Oh, I know.
Government does not just end, stops, and begin at government.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of issues, a lot of things can be done on a state level.
Oh, yeah, most of them.
Okay, so there's a lot of things. And then what happened was with the state level thing, people were so the people that really didn't understand and it wasn't explained about the state level of government was so misinformed, because the states wanted to keep their elections with their selected people in power. So what they did was they left out so many people in their state and took care of that handful and that ran the state. So people did not have, they had total ignorance.
Oh, this
when
is all
it
broken.
Comes to the
all broken.
Excuse me?
It's all broken.
Excuse me?
It's all broken.
Yeah. So they had total ignorance that how important it is for them to vote for their
Well, Mary,
residents.
Nobody told them.
Right. That's my point. That was my point.
But who
that's
the fuck needs to
point.
Tell you? You're a grown-ass adult. Go seek the information out.
You need to tell them. If you come from a small town, you do need to be told. Because
no.
If knowledge is not shared, you can't. It doesn't come to you that way.
Knowledge
and if
is
you're
not...
trying to survive and you're trying to feed your family, you have no money, and every day you wake up is to make sure you put food on the plate, and that knowledge is not given. That knowledge was protected.
No knowledge,
it was
Mary.
For a while, for the longest.
Mary, no knowledge is ever given. No knowledge is ever given.
But it's never shared.
It is
100. There was a lot of things that was never shared. It was never shared. I'm coming from a different
That's
perspective.
That's the secret of the government.
And I know what I'm talking
about. That's the secret of the government. Everything,
I know what I'm talking about.
Everything
There's
you need
a lot
to know.
Of knowledge that wasn't shared.
You want to know why people can't hold the government accountable for all the bullshit that they've done?
Nobody's talking about holding no government accountable. I'm talking about on your state level.
Even on the state level.
I'm not talking about holding the government accountable for everything. That's what I was trying to say. There's a lot of things that's done on the state level that people, and a lot of people in small areas and different areas don't have knowledge of because it's not shared. And they're only going by what someone is telling them.
And they're
them.
Funded by
and the
same people.
In place.
they're funded.
And so a lot of that has been going on for years.
Yes.
Now things are changing that people are understanding.
That's
okay,
trickle down.
Put this in place.
That's trickle down economics.
There's a black guy that's a mayor in a small southern town.
Mm-hmm.
And they closed him out, locked him out of the city building, and the same old vanilla folks
mm-hmm.
that has run in the little town for the longest, he don't even get to do his job. He gets the lawyer, get it on the federal level, doing all of this. But because it's set up from the inside, it's a fight that he still fights. He was voted mayor.
And they locked him out of his office?
Locked him out of the courthouse, you know, where it's a small town where they do everything.
This sounds like a very simple fix of just busting in a door.
No, it's not simple.
Like, did he just...
It's not simple because it's been on some of the biggest... And they shine light on it. But he's still fighting to be able to get to the funds to be able to do his job. Because when he was voted in, they ignored those folks. The same thing Trump was trying to do on a bigger level.
Okay.
They were able to do on a smaller level.
Okay. Was this before Trump did what he did? Is this where he got his idea?
I believe it might have been where he got his idea.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I didn't know about it till that time. All of that was going on, and what was it on? Was it what show? What it came on? Was it ABC? I forgot
what
it
came. I don't watch it.
Oh yeah, I was watching it. I first watched it on YouTube. Then after it became a story on YouTube, they grabbed it on was it 60 Minutes or somewhere? I forgot. And they were saying that he was still locked out. And he had a lawyer. He was trying to get everything worked out. And the man that was mayor kept himself in the
cabinet. I already put him up in the cabinet.
And so although he was voted in, he couldn't do any of the work. Because the majority of the small town was black.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a group of people running it that was white.
Oh, I know.
It's a micro example. But what I'm trying to say is, it's a small example
of what's big going
on. And it's hard for things to come together in a big way.
That's what I'm saying.
When there's so many little, small, what we might call small, but it's big to them. That's a big deal.
Well,
but there's so many.
It's how everything is controlled, how it is.
Right.
You know, because it's trickle down. It's, well, the big controls,
so,
and then it's...
What I'm trying to say is so much deeper than...
It's all greed.
You're learning things, and you're seeing things that you don't believe that's happening, that's still happening. It's just like the little fire department that they had to shut down. The one that was, they were going to try to put the two fire departments together from a black district and from this white district of firefighters. And then after they were trying to merge the two, after they got off the Zoom call, the white fire department still on them, but they didn't know that some of the state
representatives,
they got hot mic. Right. And so they get the hot mic, and they're laughing. It was an 8-year-old girl was killed.
Oh, my God.
And they're making fun of her name, Fanta Soda, Fanta Grape, Fanta Orange. They're making fun of
her.
And they're calling the people. They got a lot of niggas in that apartment. They got all of this in that side department. They are just going completely off.
This is what I'm talking about. People don't have to talk anymore.
They don't need to talk
in public. That is public.
They're closing this down, this fire department down. But guess what the guy that was the chief did? He went on the internet, took all the pictures of all his people off there. So they were trying to find a way. They was going to charge them because they need to investigate it and see what more had went on. So what happened was only the chief face was left. So they've been posting
the
chief
face. See, that's the problem in how this
is. But let me tell you how deep it goes, Rob.
Well, I know how deep it goes, Mary. It's not a surprise. I'm not surprised.
Right, right, right. But it's always a,
it's
no, no, think
heat.
About it. No,
oh,
no, 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 no.
I know.
No, no, no. It's a surprise to us. I'm just saying, it's a lot of people than just what we think we know.
I know.
But this young man was at a, he was a trucker. He's 27, young man, much younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
He's 27. He's at the truck stop. He sees that they're celebrating this old gentleman. The guy turned 83.
Oh, my goodness.
And he hears that this guy was a firefighter. So he was like, wow. When he walked to the bathroom, the family had got up and left him. He said, when he came out of the bathroom, he said, happy birthday and thank you for your service. Remember you said that thank you for the service
mm-hmm.
thing? And the white guy, the old white guy said, young man, will you please sit down for a moment? He said, okay. I thought that was weird. He said, I need to get something off my chest. That's been haunted.
Oh, no.
And so he said he was like, okay, but he wouldn't have never thought because he thought the firefighters were just great people.
Uh-huh.
This is how we see people with titles.
I
get it?
Like this is going. I know where this is going.
And it wasn't good. You're
no,
in
I know.
My heart
I know.
Dropped. I know. My sister called me, and I told her I saw it. My heart dropped. So he said, the old guy said, you know, I was a firefighter. He said, you know, it was in the 60s. You know, it was different back then.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, well, my mom, you know, I heard about the difference. And he was saying, I never thought what he said, because he's been thinking, I know we always had problems.
Oh, he let people burn. And he feels horrible about it.
The firefighters are great people, but that's the way he was
feeling.
And the guy said, you know something? We used to go in homes, black homes, and I can hear the families hollering for help. And I leave them in there to burn.
Mm.
He said, that was a toddler in a room. There was little kids in the house. We were shooting at a burn. He said, but every night, I can't close my eyes. Because
good.
I looked a baby in the eye.
Good.
He could have picked up.
Good.
And left that baby in that burn.
Good.
He said, but till this day, I cannot close my eyes.
Good.
And that guy said he left there numb. And I told my sister, he's trying to confess it to a black person to get it off his chest.
And
he died.
That man should have looked him square in the eye and said, good. Have
and
nightmares.
He said, I can't quote. He said, but we used to do that back in the day.
And you were horrible people.
And then I said, and I told Rena, it didn't surprise me. I said, because your uncle was a police back in the day. It was only three of them was allowed on the force at the time. And when they would get calls, they would send them to the worst calls and say, nobody bagged these niggas up.
And that is why changes were needed. And
let
that is why changes happened.
So one of the police officers, he said, I got so tired of the white boys setting us up for death.
Yeah.
I decided to be a criminal. I decided to do things different. So I got on the other side of the law. He said, but I tried to be a criminal in Detroit, and I lived in a different part of Michigan. And he said, back in the day, them brothers showed me, you don't come to Detroit if you want to take over. He said, they shot at me till I got in my car, and I got out of there. He said, you don't belong here.
Mm-mm.
He said, but your uncle stayed on the force. He said, but I couldn't take it.
Good.
It's so hard to try to be a part of something and everybody's against you
that
just
is,
because it's
something. I know that.
Kid.
I know how that
and
goes.
And he said, we have to only back up each other.
Yeah, no.
So the stories are so deep, you're not going to get the right system if the system was never put in place
mm-hmm.
for you.
Well, and when you
for everybody.
It, when you base it on us versus them being us being a police force and them being the citizenry, you're not protecting shit.
Because police weren't put in the place for the system. They were put in place
to
keep control of black people.
Exactly.
That's the history of the police department. See, the thing is, when people don't know history, they're shocked about what is going on. Okay, this lady, this old white lady that had a mixed child, she's always did well financially. She's always had a good life. When she had her son, she said, I always taught him, do not talk back to the police.
Yes.
Always show him respect,
mm-hmm.
but stand up for your rights,
mm-hmm.
and we'll take care. She said, I've taught him everything that's right. Him and his friends riding around. His friend, a white kid, he had drugs in his pocket. They get stopped at a something that they stopped on, or something they got stopped for. The white kid, he gets pulled out of the car, the black kid. The white kid, they take him, pull him out of the car, and they find drugs on him. He's telling them that he is tricked and didn't know about it because he don't do this.
Isn't this almost exactly
they
what happened in Montgomery?
They almost beat the black kid to death.
Mm.
Okay, white kid don't get a mark on him.
No,
and he's dragging and screaming and saying, my friend didn't know I had these drugs. She goes to pick up her son at the police department because she's thinking, she knows she's raised a great kid and he don't do this.
Right.
And she puts a pen up on. She said, I never believed what I was hearing from black people. I never believed until I had a big son.
How did you not believe that? She sued.
But because of her world,
the
world she grew up in, she did not know it until it happened to her own kids.
It happened so much. And it pisses me off.
But it pisses me off when people act like it never don't.
Exactly. Don't sit around and act like this shit ain't happening around us. Don't act like that.
Changes when we're not being truthful and honest.
Thank you.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's hard, Rachel, but I get what you're saying. We need to change. But it's so hard to be to make changes when things just ain't right.
Mary, I called the Veterans Crisis Line, okay? I called them, and I said, I'm not having, like, a I want to hurt myself crisis. I'm having more of an existential crisis, and I'm just going to need to talk to you for a minute because I'm not going to burden my friends with this anymore because they're tired of hearing about it. So I just unloaded on her about all the things that I'm going through right now, the electric company owing us money, my husband not being, you know, my husband being on board a ship, and that's just stressful in general because everybody thinks that sailors are just doodling and Popeye-ing and shit all over the place.
Oh, yeah,
it's a fucking pleasure cruise, y'all. We just love shitting blood all the time. We just love having shot
knees. No, it's not like the Army and it's not like the Marines.
It's not.
But
even
the Navy got it.
First of all, we confuse the shit out of the Army because we separate our chief's mess and our officers, because if you have to live in the same house as the people who you are trying to lead, and the people who you're trying to lead are so inept and unprepared for life in general, that being a sailor on top of that is confoundingly difficult for them. To the point to where, like I said, on my husband's ship, there has been a suicide and 3 attempts in the past fucking months. And you ain't going to hear that shit in the news.
Well,
you ain't going to hear that shit in the news. And not only that, but the way that they're addressing this is very new to me. And as someone with a very extensive background in suicide awareness training, in fact, I believe it's every 6 months while you're in the military, you have to do suicide awareness training. And, hey, you want to go play racquetball and not kill yourself? Like, that kind of shit. Like, hey, I know this sucks, but it sucks. Let's go play. Like, that. That's the answer that the Navy always gave. And so, but it was a practical fucking answer, because you can't force people not to kill themselves.
Force
you
a band-aid where you need assistance.
But you need to be aware of the signs just in case, so, you know, keep an eye on your buddy. Have some compassion with what we were trying to teach when I was in. When I was in, it was like, hey, pay attention to the human beings around you, for they're human, just like you, you know? But it's gotten so much worse because so many people have raised children to believe that nobody else's feelings or opinions matter as much as theirs do, because that's what being an individual is. And I'm here to tell you, as a person who's always been an individual, that is not what being an individual is. That's what being a fucking narcissist is. And that's what every generation.
But the individual cares for other people.
Yes. And you're pushing.
We care strongly for other people.
Yes. And I would never
watch anybody of any race or any complexion be hurt in front of me without intervening.
And schools,
I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
What walk of life you are. What race you are, I'm going to always stand up.
It's this, let's play pretend that the real world doesn't exist. Like my son's school. I know a family, the whole family had to shave their damn heads because their kids kept getting lice from the kids that they were going to school with. Yes, ma'am. So instead, and I know that black people don't really have to deal with lice as often. I mean, that's a perk, you know.
Well, it is a perk.
It's a perk. Y'all got some perks. Black people got some perks that I would like to have. Not having to get lice is one of them. I was a foster kid.
But guess what, Rachel?
I was a foster kid. You know how many times I fucking got lice? Because one of my foster sister's parents couldn't keep their house clean, and that's why their kids were in foster care. But every single time they went to a home visit, they came back, and my thick-ass Mexican hair would get lice every time because I am a fiesta for them. Yes, ma'am. So, yes, black people have some perks. So, let me tell you, you have to shave your head and your children's head because other people can't keep their houses clean. It's frustrating because other people cannot address the problem of lice properly by making sure that their home is clean because they can't afford to keep their kids out of school for more than a day or two because they have to work. That's the real problem here. The problem isn't the lice. It's the fact that the schools and the system aren't addressing the problem. And the problem is that to address a disease or a parasite that spreads like that, your population of parents have to have the ability to be able to keep their kids out of school for 2 weeks and clean their whole house and get rid of the bugs so that they can then participate again with school.
But they can't afford it.
Exactly. Exactly. So instead, we go, oh, well, we're not going to talk about because of their feelings, and we're going to focus on feelings instead of actually addressing the problem.
No, we got to be truthful and honest.
Yes.
We got to be truthful and honest. And the thing is about that is my point with anything in life. Nothing is cut and dry.
No, but nobody wants to imagine how to fix the problem either.
There's so many layers.
Yeah.
And you got to peel back. If you never peel back any of the layers and was honest with it,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't get better. It gets worse.
Right, because nobody wants to actually solve the problem. We want to have the problem. We want to have the problem so that we can have a reason.
But there are people that do want to solve the problem, but you can't solve it by yourself. And you
exactly.
don't have the power, you don't have the position, and you don't have the money behind you. So
exactly. Because individuals come up with ideas, and ideas cost money.
You're just a broke-ass person with a broke-ass idea.
Because I have a great idea. Your kid gets lice, the state has to give you 2 weeks of your pay so you can sit at home and clean your house and make sure the lice are gone. If your kid comes up with lice, congratulations, you won the lice lottery.
You should have that support.
Here's $2,000. Here's $2,000 to cover your lost wages for the next 2 weeks of you having to comb your children's hair out and boil all your sheets and spray your house down and fuck it, tent your house. You have $2,000 extra. And if you have any leave time from work, bonus. Look at that. But we don't actually build a society that conforms to what people need. We conform to what people want. Because that's how you get profit.
You cannot build a society for people's needs if the society is built for people that already have.
Yeah, again, you can just refuse to.
If everything is for the rich, if everything is ran by, what's the percentage? 2-3?
It's greed. Yes, yeah. It's greed. It's purely greed.
Okay.
But instead of using our resources,
you're not connected.
But instead of using the resources that we have at state level or at local level, right? This
it's
is just
like
my school. Y'all
right,
get funding.
Like you said with the selfishness.
Yeah, or
it's like
just
you
the.
Said with,
I think
it's me.
Exactly.
You don't care about others when you are talking me.
Exactly. You don't care about the problem.
Don't worry. Everything comes out of your mouth ends up being about you. It has nothing to do with anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And at the same time,
it's not.
We love this country.
Yeah, we love
it. And that's the thing. And people act like you can't have opinions like that and not love the place you come through you in. You can love the country.
Mm-hmm.
You can be, I love God's
I love
plan.
The idea of America.
I love God's plan. I think the world is the land of God.
Correct.
I love it. I have nothing against the land ain't did nothing to me. The United States, the section on the map, none of that has done anything to me. It has a lot to do with the body of people that's in those spaces. It ain't got nothing to do with the United States. People, you're not against the United States. And anybody being against, it's about telling the truth. The system is so flawed.
Yep. And the people that are doing the job don't want to go against the system in any way. So they would
use
and
there are people
think.
That want to go against the system, but they don't have the money and the
exactly.
power to go.
Because like
so
I said,
there's just voices out there speaking.
Like I say, you can come up with a better solution. That's what
you
it
don't
to me with the schools. My school what? This school that I my son told me about a very inappropriate conversation that he overheard between two teenage girls on the school bus. And my child was not involved in the conversation. They were not talking to him. But because my child, unfortunately, has inherited my face, his face reacted to the inappropriateness of their conversation because my son knows what is appropriate and not appropriate to talk about in public. And private parts and doing things with private parts is one of them. And that was what he said to me, ma'am.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. So my child can comprehend things a little bit on a different level, I think, than most 7-year-olds, which is where my frustration with him lies. So.
I think when it comes to sex and those conversations, a lot of kids can comprehend on that.
Well, and what...
Because they have heard it before.
Well, what pisses me off is I don't know
and
how much more.
And it's not just because they have heard it before.
I don't know how much more we can know about the simple biology of the body before we realize that it's absolutely neglectful to not have a discussion with your child from day one so that they can understand how their body works. What parts of their body. Yes. To be honest with your child about basic human biology is a standard. I think that is a standard. You gave that child a body.
You're not breaking down the sexual.
You're not getting into the emotions of it.
You're just speaking of the body part.
But nobody knows how to talk about a penis or a vagina without starting to giggle or chuckle anymore. And coming from me, that's ridiculous because I am a pervert and I make all kinds of inappropriate jokes all the time. But that's because I've never had a problem with talking about the body in a responsible, respectful way. And I talk about myself in that way with my spouse because if you trust someone to put something in you, or if you can't talk about it with them, then they shouldn't be doing that.
They should have made on it.
Exactly. If you can't have a conversation about how a relationship is going to go with someone, you don't need to be in a relationship with them yet. You're not ready.
Yeah, because you want to know how this is going to work.
Right.
Don't surprise. You
that fear and that hesitation that you're feeling.
Anything is the
perfect.
Pain. It's
right.
Something you got to know those things. You're right. Because that's having that self-awareness and that self-love to be able to have those. But my son at seven
is asking me questions about like how relationships work and what happens when boyfriends and girlfriends get together and how long, this judgmental little shit. I was talking one time about a story between Matt and I when we were dating about Matt getting scared when we lived in Japan because that Ring movie is really terrifying, the Japanese version is. And he lived in a house that was very similar. And then I made that sound, and it's the scary part in the movie. And it scared the shit out of him. And so he was running into the bed and he had nightmares. I felt so bad. I gave him nightmares for like weeks. And he's like, please don't do that. That really does scare me. I was like, I'm so sorry.
You know, the sex murder one did that for me. I couldn't get over the sex.
Right. And like, I was really insensitive. I was very.
Because I'm not into scary movies to this day like that.
Right.
I'm
and
not.
I was very insensitive to my husband. Well, he wasn't my husband. He was my boyfriend at the time.
Was very insensitive.
Yeah. Well, and this, my son, Mary, my son's little judgmental church woman ass. He looked at me. He's like, he said, you and daddy were sleeping in the same bed before you were married. And I was like, yes. I said, yes, I was also, I said, I was also 27 years old, and we didn't live together. I was just visiting. Like, I was just visiting.
Even if you feel we were grown,
and we're gonna
leave it like.
I need to be ashamed for my actions, my own husband. No, sir. I'm not mad at my love story. I'm very happy about the way that I found my husband. I found my mate the right way. The most healthy way a human woman could have met her mate in 2014. I tried, man. I was doing it. I studied. I had a whole degree in it. If I can't get a good relationship, I would have been a horrible marriage and family therapist, don't you think? You know what I mean? And that's the thing is, look at how many shitty marriages these people have and shitty relationships these people have, and they're giving you advice. Good job.
You would have.
Yes. Like, if you're going to give advice, you got to be able to follow it. And a lot, I think that's the problem that I see in a lot of people.
That little church woman that asked you that question,
That's
very smart. That little church woman that asked you that question.
My son, yes, that child of mine.
That little church ass woman.
Yes. Little judgmental ass.
That was very smart.
I know. My son talks to people with such confidence that it's going to be his father all over again. He's going to get stabbed as soon as he leaves my house. He's going to run his mouth because he doesn't know how to stop, and he's going to get stabbed just like his father did. It's going to happen, Mary. And that's going to teach him. That's the one. And I'm like, I told Matt. As parents, we had goals. And one of my husband's goals was we got to make sure he don't get stabbed. we got to make sure we teach this kid that you need to shut your mouth.
Rachel, you need a t-shirt. Don't stab my little church.
Don't trust me. He's judgmental as shit. I want to stab him too.
My little church boy. Don't stab my little church boy.
Judgmental
ass.
Don't
stab my little church boy.
He's so negative. I don't know where he gets it. And then I'm like, but I do bitch about a lot of things.
Oh yeah, I mean, some of that shit comes from you.
No, I know most of it does. I'm well aware. It's just, why can't you emulate some of my better qualities? Can you please? Like, can you please emulate some of the better things that I do? Because you used to do that. He used to be so sweet.
That's why, Rachel. The other things are more exciting.
Oh, I know. Trust me, I used to be a holy terror. Kids do not. I've been a menace. I have been a menace to others at times. Just like my son is being.
I'm not going to argue with you because I would want to.
And let me tell you this. Not once, and I guarantee you that, not once have I ever been a menace to someone who didn't deserve it. And trust me, my sense of judgment is strong when it comes to justice.
I was a menace to people that sometimes didn't deserve.
No, not once. Not once have I ever been a menace to someone who didn't deserve it.
I feel that way, and I couldn't express myself. But I was young then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was And then you know what I learned when I got home to just stay my distance from certain people.
Yeah. But the list has gotten larger as I've gotten older, and it's doubled like inflation. It's insane. It's increased at an unprecedented rate. I fucking hate it so much.
I can't fight for 2 minutes. I might hang with you for a minute.
I told my husband. I said, I need to make up a drinking game where you watch, if you watch meet like corporate news, like Fox and CNN.
No, you make up a boy game.
And then you take a shot every time they say the word unprecedented. And you will be drunk. You will be drunk before the first part.
You need to make up a boy game.
Yes. It's so much fun.
A mental health boy game.
Ugh. It's the only action people will take. They won't actually do the mental health board game of, I don't know, wake up and do your job.
I've not heard of one.
It's just going to be a deck of cards, Mary. It's going to be a deck of cards, and every single fucking card says, get up and do what you said you were going to fucking do.
Do the work.
Do what you said. you are going to do. Just do it. Just do it. Do the thing. And don't do the thing that you're told to do. Look at what you're supposed to be doing. Look at what, you know, like, because that's the thing. If people actually looked at what they do every day, they'd realize why they're so depressed. Because they know deep down the things that they're doing, that they're told to do, are not going to get them to the goal that they have in mind, the reason they started off doing what they were doing. Because it was a trap.
Well,
for most of the occupations that we created in these systems, because they just keep on adding to them, and they just keep on adding loopholes, and they just keep on adding ways to profit off of first people going into these helping. You should never have to pay to help other people. And they have created such a system that you go into such debt to try to help others that you can no longer help others because you're too busy helping yourself not drown.
Wow.
And I hate it. I hate it. I don't like it. I don't want to play. It's a dumb game. So that would be my game. My game would just be a deck of cards that says, do your shit.
But guess what? I would love for you to do that deck.
Because you got to fix it. And the only way to fix it is to be like, all right, well, how do I get myself through this system and out of it enough to feel like a person again? Instead of feeling like every single day I'm led by the nose to do some shit that doesn't fucking matter, that's not going to matter, that's not going to have any semblance of worth and in such a short lifetime that I'm given.
That's why they say do the cards.
That's all they say. Just do it. Do the thing.
The reason I say just do it, the same thing you're saying to them, that's what you should do. You can't do it on the level that you want to do it, so do it on the level that can at least reach people. It is left up to them to do the work. Put it on cards.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the truth of self-help and you know, this whole, like, trying to get people to realize the power that they have within themselves.
All you can't just sneeze down. You got a podcast. Put the word out. Everybody might not, like you said, everybody's
saying the same thing, though. Like,
don't have to be everybody.
But everybody's saying the same thing.
There's things that people have done that saved people, one or two people's lives. And they didn't know. And you don't have to touch the masses to touch someone.
See, but that's the thing. I don't like touching the masses, and I want to know. Maybe that's my problem. I'm too controlling. Like, no, I want to know when I help someone. I want to look at them in the eyes. I want to see it.
Right. The work isn't to know. The work is to be done. The work is to be done. It's to be done. That's the problem. People want to know the outcome. They want to know the analytical thing, too. It ain't about all that. The work has to be done. You have to do the work and pray to God that it touches someone. Then the work is done. All that other stuff is a bunch of crap.
See, that's the way that I look at being a parent.
How?
Like, that's how I parent. Like, that's the job. Like, parenting,
you do the work.
Yeah, you do the work. You listen to your kids. You guide them. You help them understand the world around them.
And what shocks you the most is when they get older and you find out that they actually hurt.
Yeah, I know.
That's
And the reason I know, I've seen it in you. I've seen it in Lucius. I've seen it in D'Angelo. I've seen it in my friend Jen and her son. I know the methods of parenting that I am utilizing are going to work because that's how humans work, too, because that's what my degrees have told me, you know. And but what, again, that's where I, and
because
I can.
There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect place to parent.
No.
And there's no perfection. You do the best you know how.
Right.
And keep that child alive and as healthy as you could, and then you pray for the rest.
Right.
That
but you have to prepare them. You cannot let your children have this idea that the world around you doesn't exist, and you can't shield your emotions.
And nobody owes you anything.
Well, and there was, go back to that happiness. Because that's the thing. When I grew up, my generation, like, you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, because you were parenting my generation.
Okay.
Parents in your generation were really parents in your generation were really focused on making sure their children were always happy. Right?
When I was parenting my generation?
Yeah. Like other parents and how they raised their kids. Because that's what, like, they wanted to always, like, they wanted to make sure that their kids were successful. And they wanted to make sure that their kids were happy.
Right.
Not educated in themselves, but educated in society.
Right.
That you didn't raise your kids to have an identity. Like, you did, but you know what I mean?
No, you wanted your kids to just do better than you did.
Right.
You wanted your kids to be a little bit happier than you were.
Right. Like, and that's how I've chosen to parent my child, is...
You wanted them to have things that it was impossible for you to have at the time. Yeah.
And the only way that I can guarantee that is that I need to make sure my son is capable of doing that for himself. And I know that. Because I can't make his dreams happen for him. He has to be able to act on what he wants to do and take the initiative. Because no one else is going to do it for him. And he knows
that. That's my point. That is the point in life. You can sit there, because you need to have the discussion. You can talk about it.
Right.
Okay, but you got to do the work.
And it's no one else's fault that you're sitting in your own problem.
You can't start at the beginning of the month, say, my rent is due. But you have done nothing that month to get any of your rent up.
Yes.
And then, end of the month, you don't have nothing for your rent.
And act surprised.
Then you want to ask for help, but you're not asking for partial help because you was trying to do the work. You want it all.
Well, and because I know that it hurts.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
Right.
And I know that in our society that's how we've been essentially programmed to behave, because until you get to the point of absolute poverty and absolute dire need, and you have to try to get there, you know, you have to give up a lot of dignity and a lot of stuff to get to that rock bottom. You have to participate in a lot of things and make choices purposefully to keep going down, you know. And you have to make choice after choice of bad choices to keep going. And there's so many people who are doing that. And that's not a shock. It's not a surprise.
And we also not ignorant to the point that people, it can be health, it can be mental health, it can be physical health, it can be so many different things. So
right.
We know that it's not one
But nowhere
way.
Along the way were parents told, hey, by the way, your child will fall into these pitfalls if you don't explain these pitfalls to them. There's no shielding possible that can protect your child from their own feelings.
Basically, I believe, and I might be wrong, and don't quote me on it, because we're all different, and our kids are different. The circumstances are different. The time, and a lot, the time that we are raising them. Because a lot of things were different. But what I believe is, if you fall down and you keep getting up, your child will see.
Yes.
And understand how to get up when you fall down.
And
but if you fall down
and
you stay down there, you're crying and whining all the time.
Yeah, it's so
painful.
Your
child becomes that whining and that crying.
And cowardice.
And some of them still will skip over you and stand up. But
and I see a lot of cowardice in it. It's cowardice because they're afraid. They're afraid to step out. They're afraid to have new ideas. They're afraid to problem solve.
And at the same time, I won't call it a power. Because if some people just don't know how.
That's the parents' job is to teach their children that, though, right?
I have simplified things for people that made things so complicated.
Right.
Because it was so simple when I was doing it.
Right.
But it was more complicated because of the
way they were looking at it.
Hello. And they would be just talking, and I said, what are you talking about?
Right. You need to calm down.
Oh, I
want to
do this. I said, stop talking about what you want to do and do what you can do.
Exactly.
And leave all of that alone.
Right.
I said, I hurt myself in life a lot of times from doing too much.
Because you were ready for it.
And then coming up with the same result.
Yeah, you don't have the structure.
I said, I had to learn to relax. I said, and it did not happen yesterday. I mean, it happened when I was probably in my 50s. I had to learn that I am not in control of everything in my life.
Yes.
I am not just, I said, we always talking about, oh, we got to trust in God, put God first. We don't.
Yes.
I said, because it can be stated, some, you can hear the voice in your head over and over again and still do what you think
yep.
is right. When you do that, we miss the point
mm-hmm.
of God. I said, I've done it all the time because I always tried to be in control until I found out that I wasn't.
Yep.
And when I found out I wasn't, my chest wasn't as tight.
Mm-hmm.
My head didn't hurt as much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel as bad and so guilty when it didn't work.
Give yourself the time to process.
You got to make it make sense.
Yep.
Pray.
People don't.
You got to sit in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give yourself. Then you got sometimes you got to listen to us.
You actually got to talk about it. You
and
actually got to think about
that
it.
You need. You can't ask for help. All they could say is no.
Yep.
And all it's gonna do is motivate you to work harder and figure out and find it a different way.
It was so frustrating when he started going through this developmental change, and I think when that concussion happened, because there was a connection between us that got lost. I think he did tell me that he did have that contempt about us moving, you know, and the frustration, and he could understand
it. Guess what? He wasn't lying.
No, he wasn't lying. He doesn't lie when he's talking to me like that. I know when my child's lying.
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't lying.
I can hear a lie.
So
that's the thing. When you're an honest person, you have a certain tone to your voice that people trust and believe. That's why I stop grown-ass men when I use my mom voice. I am not kidding. Grown-ass men in public, when I talk to my son, will stop and be scared of me. And I'm like, oh, sorry, my bad. They turn around and there's this tiny little angry woman just angrily staring at her child, and they're terrified of me. And it's not because I'm threatening. It's because they hear the honesty of irritation in my voice that they need to stop doing whatever they're doing. You know?
Because
I'm true. I'm honest. Right. But my child knows that I'm not going to say anything to him unless it is true and honest. So he knows to trust me.
And at the same time, you're not going to embarrass him and put him down and make him feel
right.
bad in front of other people.
Correct.
When they look down at
Correct.
Them.
That is not the first thing that I
because
do to correct my child's
behavior. That's what happens to a lot of the kids.
Well, then you lose, your mom voice loses its power. You got to use it. You got to wield the mom voice properly. There's a level of behavior that needs to address, and it's not every time they mess up.
What?
But this kind of stuff is subjective. The first thing I said to my son when he was born and laying naked on my chest, I was like, hello, I am your mother. You've been listening to me for a while now. Not poorly listening to me for a while now. I'm sure that will continue. And I was like, we both are new at this, and we are both going to learn along the way. But I promise you that I will never stop learning, and I will never stop trying, as long as you never stop learning and never stop trying. And my child did that for me up until he reached this developmental level, or he had that concussion. I don't know which one it was, but I'm mad about it. I'm mad about it. It's frustrating, but it's not something I can't handle. And so when I talk about that as a problem, I don't know very many people who can understand it on that level. They always dilute it down to, oh, you just need to take him to a therapist, or, you know, they give me an answer that's programmed. And it's like, I don't have a programmed child. I have an independent thinking, little human being that is having a subjective experience to the world around him. And I want him to keep it that way, because I want him to develop his own perspective and know who he is and know what his opinion is before I let him loose to this world that's going to try to tell him how to feel and tell him who to be. I don't like that.
Don't over-communicate.
I know. I don't do that to him. You know that.
Right.
I know when to shorten it up.
That's my point. Don't over-communicate. Keep communicating.
That's been
that,
and that's why lately I've been so upset, because I got to hold it in. I got to hold it in, Mary.
And it's going to be different.
Well, and that's my issue right now, and I'm aware of it, is right now I'm holding a lot in. I'm not saying a lot to him, and he knows that, because I've told him, I'm like, I don't correct you all the time, and I don't explain myself to you anymore because I don't feel like I should have to.
No.
So if you are confused why you're getting in trouble.
Old explanation. Certain things are.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
I shouldn't have to explain this shit to you anymore.
Honesty is important.
Yes.
Certain things are, apologies are important.
Right.
You're not perfect as a parent.
No.
A lot of that stuff is important.
Right.
But you can't jump on everything, because
right.
you will break him psychotic.
Correct.
You will mess up a child.
Correct. Because but that is what he is trying.
For that 7-year-old brain.
Right.
Don't care how intelligent, how smart we think our kids are.
But see, he sees all these other
you
parents.
Have to be realistic.
He sees all these other parents doing that for their children. And he sees...
So you have to be realistic to know that some of that mess can be overwhelmed.
And he sees other children getting these things, but he's not. You know, other children's parents are allowing these behaviors and being like, oh, it's fine. They're allowing too much. They're, and I know that from experience. It's like, you need to trust that I'm being balanced here. You're claiming that I'm not, but you have no proof that I'm not being balanced, because I can show you my work. I can show you places where I've held my tongue. I can show you places where I've thrown up my white flag, and I've separated us because I'm the adult here.
Sometimes you have to throw up.
Because
I have to throw up my flag.
That's the
watch.
Verb.
So,
all these things that
about.
I'm doing, these are the actions of parenting, being patient, holding your tongue, showing your
right.
child how to give a metered response. And then pointing it out to them later. Not in the moment.
And my son was quiet, but Lucius was taking it out on the bunk bed. He was tearing up the bunk
Ian's
bed.
Ian's been doing the same shit, yeah.
And he was tearing it up because there's a lot of things that he couldn't express.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sometimes come in, so I was working with sometimes 90-some kids.
Yeah.
I was working with the Child Development Center. You're working with so many children, a lot of times you don't have nothing left
no.
to deal with.
There's no patience
left. So you're just trying to feed them, and they want to tell you about school and tell you.
And
sometimes
they know you're not listening, so they get mad.
Sure. And it's frustrating.
Yeah.
I had plenty of times just lay down, gather
mm-hmm.
myself, open the room, and say, you want to watch this movie with me?
You got to suck it up.
Because he was like building up this anger
mm-hmm.
towards me. And then when we got ready to move and I saw the bottom of his bed, I said, that's where he put it.
Yep. Well, here's the thing, Mary. Because
I... And I just say, I don't know why he did
yep.
that.
You knew why.
Because he put it there.
But that's the thing. Most parents don't do that.
Sometimes I put it against him.
Parents aren't doing that anymore. They just ignore
it. I put it against him. I said something to him. I cut him out off. I did not give him the energy that he deserved that time. And it was hurtful. It was hurtful because I was always the person that would acknowledge when I'm wrong. I'm not the type that walks away and, it's what it is.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I was like, damn. I feel like a lot of times I missed the boat.
Well, and
but guess what? I never gave up on myself.
And when you miss the boat.
By me never giving up on myself, I was able to redirect myself.
You never missed the same boat.
To try to give him what I had.
You never missed the same boat.
Hello. Not cheap misses. I wasn't that person.
Right.
I wasn't going to be a fool, say something to my son that I shouldn't have said
correct.
And then not and continue to do it. Right. I wasn't going to call him out his name. I was going to, sometimes I used curse words, sometimes I used words that wasn't good.
Mm.
I had to go back and I always apologize because there wasn't, that wasn't the direction I was going.
Oh, we have discussed vernacular. We have discussed emotional outbursts on a regular because we want our child to understand that emotional outbursts, which have curse words in them, are not something that is expected or appropriate for his age. And if he feels like that's the case and that becomes a habit, it's going to be a problem.
Right. So you got to redirect your behavior.
Right. You have to have the conversation.
You have to go back and have the conversation.
Because if you don't do a knowledge check.
I always say, Mike, they're getting the car. I said, you know, Mom was wrong. I said, you know, mom got a big head.
Mm-hmm.
She hard. And they would laugh. I would say things to make them laugh. And
yep.
Took the them thinking mom is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
No, mom.
Nobody is.
And I'll say, sometimes I'm the biggest fool you ever met. No, you're not. Mama, you're no fool.
Like, nobody's perfect, but not everybody has to have a problem, if that makes sense.
That gives them a chance to be on the other side.
Like, nobody's perfect, but not everybody.
Don't for that moment to compliment me, to make me feel like I should feel better than the words that's coming out of my mouth, you know?
I think it's
so I would always turn the table.
I think it's making your child understand that loving someone does not mean that that person is expected to be perfect all the time. And it does not mean...
It just blames yourself when you're so frustrated.
But it also doesn't mean that you ignore that person's experience simply because they love you.
Right.
And love is reciprocal.
It is not an easy job. People always say, no, yesterday, after when you're really doing it, it's not.
It's not.
When you're doing it every day, every minute, every second,
because
you're
you
really investing that time into it. It's not an easy job.
And you have
to. I think when you're not investing nothing but the TV, a game, a meal, some nice clothes,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a different job. When you're not doing the job mm-hmm. that's needed.
Yeah, my son, we've had this discussion because I've explained to him that his behavior and the way that he's choosing to communicate, or should I say not communicate with me, is not
right.
allowing me to do my job. It's not allowing me.
You got to talk to your kids. You got to have those conversations.
Right.
You can't never stop talking.
And that's the only conversation.
And he said, I heard if these guys around here tell me you got a son in college, you got a young one, they've been telling me about your kid. And he said, I came to you behind everybody's back to ask you, what did you do? So my son is 16, he said, and I'm telling you, I feel that I've been a great example of a man. He said, but it seems like it's not enough. I said, you know what? Most people's, the way I see it, I said, I can only speak for myself. I'm not going to say, oh, I know.
You have the golden answer. We have the golden answer of parenting
that
over
is
here.
Not true, because all kids are different. Because
we can't.
All experiences are different. All families, our home, our financial levels, and all of that is different. Culture different. You're from the north, I'm from the south, all of that. It ain't, we're all black folks, we the same, none of that. He was a black man.
Right, it's subjective.
None of that.
That's why it's called a subjective experience.
So I'm going to tell you what I did.
Yes.
I said I would never shut up.
Right.
I talked to my sons when he didn't want me to talk
mm-hmm.
to them. And kept what was.
Mm-hmm.
I never stopped letting them know how life works and what consequences are.
Correct.
I never allowed him to have an opinion and to say that. I said, 9 times to 10, I wasn't a good listener. I said, so I cannot, that's something that if I could do it again, I'd do it different. So I said, I quieted my boys to the point that when they grew up, they said they didn't have much to say because I said everything.
Right.
I even talked for them. And I said, so that comes from being as an imperfect human being. I said, but also, I talk so much, They said anything to do wrong, all they can hear is my voice in the ear.
Right.
Because I talked them into a coma. She said, oh, Lord, I'm going to use that on Sunday.
You talked them into being good.
I said, I talked Lucius into a coma. I said, because even when he didn't want to hear it, I didn't shut up.
I've told him that. I've told my son that straight to his face. I've said, you can sit here and treat me with disrespect and malice and contempt that I do not deserve, but I will never look at you and tell you that I'm okay with that.
That's it.
And that's where we're at. That's what I was telling you last night. Like, that's where we're at. I just
haunted them to this day.
Yep.
He gets so many compliments on the police force.
Because if
when
I
he
don't...
first started becoming a cop, and he came in somehow, they said, man, who raised you? Who did this? Asking so many. And then he said, and I said, boy, I don't know how you guys got like that. You're better than your mom. And Lucia said, Mama, stop doing that. Every time someone compliments, I said, I got it from my mother.
My son is the same.
Every time they say something to me, I got it from the parent I was in the home with. He said, stop putting yourself down. I wouldn't be the man that I am today if it wasn't for you. I said, you get to the point in life that you have done your best to do your best for your child.
That's what
and you forget
sad,
about
Mary.
Yourself. That's I said, didn't we start forgetting about ourselves?
Let me see.
And
sad.
I said,
there's
it's
so
hard
to do that. There's so few parents that do it anymore.
Right. And I said, you start forgetting about yourself. You stop seeing yourself as a needing, loving, human being that needs all the compassion mm-hmm. that you're all. I said, you almost become everything for everybody else, but nothing for yourself.
Right.
I said, thank you, baby. I needed to hear that. He said, because Mom, I always let them know I got it from my mother. That's why when they see you, they're always smiling and complimenting me and stuff like that. He said, don't do that to yourself.
See, that's the worst part is my son got all of that beautiful, wonderful empathy and sweetness from his mother in the beginning. And now he's decided to take also his mother's attitude and ridiculousness and stubbornness and... There are times where I look at my child and I'm like, man, I can't fight both myself and you today. Like, because it's just, it's all of those negative things. I see it, and I see him struggling with the same thing. And I know this is the point where you start struggling with those things as a person.
But guess what? You know the first step is knowing that.
Yeah, I know.
And everything else will fall into place.
If he don't want to listen. He don't want to listen to me.
Can't stop doing you. Okay, that's him that wants
I know.
It. That's the, you're not going to stop talking.
And I tell him that. I'm like, I'm not going to stop. This ain't going to stop, just so you know. You can ask any grown-ass man that I've ever worked with.
Shut up. Then we're on a different level.
I look at my child.
I ain't going to never stop talking.
Mary, I'm not even kidding you.
Out of this house, and when you come, I'm going to call and talk to you.
I tell you what.
It's going to continue, I'm going to talk to you.
I tell my child on a regular basis, one of these days, I am going to invite every 5, 6, 7 foot tall giant man that I ever worked with and yelled at and screamed at in their face and told them what to do when they listened to me because they respected me because I did earn merit and I knew what I was talking about. And I'm going to bring them in front of my son and I'm going to make them look at my son and be like, you do not talk to her that way. Like, he talks to me like I am
shit.
Idiot.
He has coming from nowhere but from his mom and his daddy.
Oh, my God.
And
his father don't talk to me like this. I don't know where he gets this.
To stand over and say nothing because height, size has nothing to do where he's coming from. He's just coming from a place that his mom is his whipping board.
I tell you what.
Mom is his whipping board.
I don't know
everything
how either.
Everything that's wrong is his mom.
I have never
everything
presented myself.
Everything he feels is his mom. I went through it with Lucia.
Oh, please
Lucia didn't want to date. And my mom had to pull him aside. He was about 6. And she said, don't run mama in that way. She said, I got to let you know your mother's young. She's not going to put anyone in her life that's going to hurt and harm you. Because guess what? I'm stepping in.
Yes.
I'm not, I will never let anything hurt or harm you. And if she's doing something that I don't agree with, I'm stepping in again. She said, but your mother is young. You can't be the only man in her life. You just can't.
Right.
And I was happy my mom spoke. She said, we love you and we're going to keep you safe. And mm-hmm. no man's going to happen your life and your mom's going to allow him to treat you anyway.
Yes.
She said, because I love your mom.
It's not even about being treated like a woman. It's as a human being. This child will speak to me with such disrespect and malice that I'm like, I don't know who the fuck you are talking to.
He's speaking to you with the power of a meeting and knowing his own mouth.
He is reflecting my confidence and wielding it poorly because he has nothing to back it up.
He see that authority, he see that thing, he see all of that. Mm-hmm. So he's what he knows.
Yeah, he's using some sass inappropriately is what he's doing. What's funny is
his little old church lady.
Yes, a little judgmental, I'm above everybody ass. Get off your high horse. Get off your high horse. I don't know who you think you are. I mean, you remember this child was born. He looked like he had Vietnam stories. So he's always up his own ass thinking about how much more mature he is than everybody around him. I don't know where he gets that.
Oh, Lord, help me with these lies.
Trust me, there's times where my anger also...
But let me tell you something.
My anger is also very funny. It's very funny because I see myself. I'm like, damn, I was a little shit.
So
I remember.
You already know. You are being the best. You are being the best parent that you can be with.
Yeah.
You know he's being affected by not having his dad every day. You know he's being affected by the changes that went on in his life.
Right.
You know he's been affected by just being you and him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been affected by so much, but he's only seven.
And I know that
so
as a parent...
So he's redirecting at you in a negative way.
So as a parent, my job is not...
You will never stop parenting because of
him. My job is not to accept that
and
allow it.
You will give him grace, but you will also step up and let him know that's the
right. It's not, you don't do that. You don't take out on other people, no matter who it is.
I'm
strong enough to take it. It's not a question of me being strong enough. It's a question of you willingly and willfully making sure that other people feel pain because you're in pain. And that's not okay.
Right.
That's never okay. Because life is pain.
When they feel shame, they want someone else to feel pain.
That's the base reaction of most
because
humans.
Because they don't know how to own their pain.
Exactly.
And they don't know how to put it.
And that's accountability. That's accountability.
Yeah.
People don't realize that's emotional accountability, and that's how you teach accountability in a human, and that's a parent's job. People aren't doing that. I know that.
Yeah.
And how do I know that? I've seen your kids.
Yeah.
And how do I know that? How can I assess that? I have degrees, and I have eyes, and I have ears, and I have a brain that I use daily.
It was an example that Lucius, I'm using this example that when Lucius called me, he had D'Angelo with him. And D'Angelo was about 7? No, he was about 9, something like that. He was about 9. So Lucius had him out, his brother always wanted to buy him games and do things for him. So he wanted a game. He thought that was a game that he personally, D, would be interested in. And he said, D, I like this game. I want to buy it for you. He said, let me see it, bro. So Lucius, he said, look at it and said, oh, no. Oh, no, Lucius, you can't buy me this. Mom said that I cannot play any game or watch any movie with PG-13 on it. There's too many curse words and it's bad for me. You cannot. And he said,
I
don't want
that.
He just called me and said, Mom, what you I called him the police itself.
So
that's all I did.
Such a smart little boy.
And he said he laughed so hard. He said, Mom, I just had to walk away and call him. He said, what's in here? What's this for? He said, people looking at me in the store. I got the bad guy.
Well, and that's the thing. Is like,
this is an old man. He's just an old spirit. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay, but he's right. I told him.
I wish my son had that
sense of following
his mama's rules. My child just thinks of ways to get around every single one that I give him, which I don't even give him a lot of rules. Most of my rules are just, hey, be a good person. And he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Not today.
You know why?
Not today,
you know
Mom.
Why? Have you ever said be a bad person? You see how he reacts?
I have looked at him and said, please do punch me in the face. Like, I would rather you punch me in the face than continuing to ignore my existence as I stand here and say, stop doing that.
Oh, be a bad person and see what's going to happen.
No. Right?
But, lady?
Yes, ma'am.
You know I love you.
I love you, too. I think it's been 2 hours of us talking, so I think I can split this up into two different podcasts.
Clean it up.
I'll clean it up.
I made a mistake and said Tamari's day, so make sure you take that off there, okay?
Which one?
I made a mistake and said Tamari's name. When we was talking about life.
Oh.
I was trying to say tomorrow. I was about to say something, and I said a name, and somebody can hear it that...
No, like, that's not what I meant.
Right. That's why I just take it off. So.
Well, now they know that that's not what you meant. So we're cool.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant tomorrow.
Yeah. We're cool. We're cool with that.
Okay.
I don't think.
But I
don't think a whole lot of people are going to be listening. I don't think it's going to go viral or anything. We'll be fine.
That's true.
All right.
I don't know.
We don't
know.
But right. probability and possibility.
But I'm not the one that's looking for viral. I just think it's a conversation that we're putting out that other people can have. That's all.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's the whole point of my podcast.
I don't relate viral and stuff like that.
Hey, listen to this cool conversation I had. Bye. All right. I love
that's
you.
Good. And somebody might like it. Tell someone else about it. You get what I'm saying?
Let's spread positivity.
That's it.
I gotta go pee. I love you.
Go to pee, girl. Bye.
I love you, buddy.
Bye.